Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you will not hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of the show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in his word that he would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Now here with vital insights from God's word is pastor and author Joe Schimmel.
Well, hello folks. Welcome to the fastest half hour on radio here at Good Fight Radio Show, where we learn to discern the difference between good and evil, light and darkness, and discover God's will for our lives. This show, I want to talk about Bible prophecy, the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, and recent cataclysmatic or near cataclysmatic events that have been taking place recently with regard to the meteorite activity surrounding our planet. Where does this fit in from a biblical perspective? On Friday the 15th of this month, we had what was called a near miss. In astronomical terms, it was a very near miss, very close. 5,000 miles closer to us than our GPS satellites, we were missed by a huge meteorite that would have caused untold devastation. 150-foot long meteor called 2012 DA14, recently discovered by amateurs, skimmed past our planet. It weighed about an estimated 143,000 tons. It could have wiped out all of London. Pretty incredible when you think about it. And in fact, it's interesting because less than 24 hours earlier than that, a meteorite hit a city in Russia. Over 1,100 people were injured, so it was somewhat cataclysmic for those folks as this meteorite hits this Russian city with the force of an atomic bomb. Thankfully, most of the force of that atomic bomb-like size impact was absorbed by the atmosphere as it exploded just before it hit ground. Now, the spectacle deeply frightened many Russians, with some people declaring that they thought it was the end of the world. Many were injured. As I said, about 1,100 or more were injured from glass and such, because after the huge explosion, many ran to their windows, looking out, peering out their windows, trying to say, you know, what happened? What's just taking place? And then, boom, their windows shattered on them, causing a lot of bloodshed, and that must have been really tragic. Could you imagine? Can you imagine just hearing the explosion and going through that? Now, that particular meteorite was estimated to be about 10 tons and 49 feet wide, a third smaller than the one that just missed the Earth the very next day. This entered the Earth's atmosphere at a hypersonic speed of at least 33,000 miles an hour and shattered into pieces 18 to 32 miles above the ground, according to the Russian Academy of Sciences. It doesn't take a very large object. A 10-meter-sized object already packs the same energy as a nuclear bomb, says Andrew Cheng of Johns Hopkins Applied Physics Laboratory. Now, the Russian meteorite was about the size of a bus and weighed an estimated 7,000 tons. Now, some say it wasn't the power of one atomic bomb, but 20 atomic bombs. Now, imagine the impact of the damage that Russia would have had to withstand had this thing not exploded in midair. On August 6, 1945, in the immediate aftermath of nuking Hiroshima, tail gunner Bob Karen described being temporarily blinded and then witnessing the carnage, which he described as looking, quote, like bubbling molasses down there. The mushroom is spreading out. Fires are springing up everywhere. It's like a peep into hell, end quote. A college professor described it from ground in the following shocking way, quote, I climbed Hikiyama Hill and looked down. I saw that Hiroshima had disappeared. I was shocked by the sight. I saw many dreadful scenes after that, but that experience, looking down and finding nothing left of Hiroshima, was shocking, that I simply can't express what I felt. Hiroshima didn't exist. That was mainly what I saw. Hiroshima just didn't exist, end quote. Well, folks, many scientists and astrophysicists are saying it's inevitable that some of these meteorites start hitting us. But the reality is that our government is quite concerned about this. In fact, NASA has talked about using lasers that they can hopefully build in the future, even nuking these things as they're coming in, trying to derail them or deter them from hitting the planet. It's interesting, though. We've tried to put some faith as humans in humanity. I always warn you, don't put your trust in man. The Bible says, cursed is the one who puts his trust in man. We have to put our trust in God. Now, it's interesting because there's been movies like Deep Impact, other movies like Armageddon, starring Bruce Willis, where you have people, you know, getting involved in with the government and what have you, trying to stop these things. In fact, Bruce Willis becomes the hero of Armageddon, interesting name for that title, because Bruce Willis, you know, he, you know, ends up on top of this asteroid or this meteorite that's going to hit the planet and just exploding it with nukes and keeping it, and, you know, basically saving the planet, which I think is interesting when you think about it, because the Bible actually talks about meteorites hitting the earth in the end times just prior to Christ's return. And just prior to Armageddon. And in fact, Armageddon is described when you read Revelation chapter 16. There's meteorites that hit the earth during Armageddon. So that's a really interesting title. They call this movie Armageddon. Bruce Willis becomes the savior of the world along with others who he actually gathers together like the dregs of society. You know, people aren't having any hope in these particular oil rig workers and what have you. In fact, one of these workers happens to be a pedophile of sorts because he's talking about hitting on young girls and stuff. And he ends up being part of the, you know, the heroic band that saves the world. I thought, isn't that an incredible twist? And the president in that movie, Armageddon, of the United States, the one who's depicted as a president, he's actually referring to the Bible, standing giving a speech saying, hey, right here in the Bible, it talks about this happening. Well, he's right, it does. But it doesn't talk about it being, you know, something against God. It talks about it being God's judgment in the book of Revelation. And the whole message in the book of Revelation is that people need to repent and get right with God because his judgment is coming and man is in rebellion to God and in need of judgment. The fact is that there was no Bruce Willis or Russian, you know, astronaut or the Russian military, American military that was able to spare the Russians from what just happened recently with regard to the meteorite that slammed into one of their towns. In fact, Russian Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev, he said, quote, not only the economy is vulnerable, but the whole planet, end quote, at an economic forum that he thought the meteor should be a symbol of. Add to this that the Telegraph reported, quote, fireballs reported in skies above Cuba and California. Now, it's interesting. The story said, in Cuba on Tuesday, residents reported seeing a bright light in the sky and a loud explosion that shook windows and walls. One resident described the light as, quote, bigger than the sun. He said, on Tuesday, we left home to fish around 5 in the afternoon, and around 8, we saw a light in the heavens, and then a big ball of fire bigger than the sun. Another resident described how her home was, quote, completely shaken by the explosion. She added, I had never heard such a strange thing. You folks, people are in terror right now in different parts of the world. In regard to the meteorite that hit Russia, quote, the flaming meteor that terrified Russia. Canadian hockey player Michael Garnett, who is a native of the city that was hit in Russia, he said, quote, my light fixtures were swaying back and forth. At that point, I was just terrified. I saw a huge streak across the sky. I didn't really know what was going on, he said. Folks, Jesus Christ prophesied that these kinds of things would happen in the end times. He's the one that's given us insight into what's taking place. In fact, in Luke chapter 21, beginning at verse 10, he said, then he continued by saying to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes, and in various places plagues and famines, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. He went on to say in verse 25 and following, there will be signs in the sun and moon and the stars, and on the earth dismay among nations in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves. Think of tsunamis and killer hurricanes. Jesus went on to say, men fainting from fear of the expectation. Now catch this. Men fainting from the fear of expectation of the things which are coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. The King James Version says right there that their hearts will be failing them for fear of things coming on the earth. Isn't that interesting? Because heart disease is the number one killer right now on the planet. Heart disease, most often because of stress, is the biggest killer. Now, it's interesting, the Bible records that there'll be more and more things like this in the future. However, we're, you know, humanity is saying, instead of, hey, repenting, getting right with God, exalting the one that created us, and instead of suppressing the truth of creation and deliberately being blind, as it says in Scripture, to God's creation, the Bible says a fool says in his heart there's no God. People continue on in their rebellion against God, involved in, you know, killing millions and millions of babies and sexual perversion and blasphemies against God and all these various things. Well, are they going to be able to stop the judgment of God when it comes? Are they going to be able to blow out these meteorites before they hit the earth with nukes? Are we going to be able to save ourselves from God's judgment? Well, I want you to stay tuned because in about 30 seconds, we're going to be looking at what God says is going to happen in the future with regard to these meteorites. So I'll see you in just 30 seconds.
You're listening to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how they relate to family, culture, and the church. If you'd like to learn more about our life-changing resources, such as They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll and This Emerging Church, check out our website at goodfightradio.org.
All right, folks, we've been talking about the meteorites. One was a near miss. In fact, they state that that near miss, that 150-foot-long meteorite, would have been absolutely devastating, would have destroyed all of London. In fact, they say that's the largest near miss of a meteor that size in recorded history. But amazingly, the day before that, a meteorite that wasn't even on the radar nails Russia. And they say they were unrelated to one another. Absolutely amazing. What in the world is going on? Now, it's interesting because the book of Revelation talks about these things. And I want to give you some verses out of the book of Revelation that talk. And I want to talk about what the scriptures say about what's going to happen in the end times. I'm reading from the Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 8. We're going to be looking at three of the trumpet judgments. Now, the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation, seven seal judgments, then seven trumpet judgments. And then it goes on to talk about seven bowl judgments. I believe some of them overlap a little bit. In fact, we're going through a Revelation series, the book of Revelation on Sundays at the fellowship that I pastor. You can catch that at goodfight.org and hear that on podcast for free. If you're near the Simi Valley area, you can come and hear the series itself. We have a great fellowship with a lot of people that just love Jesus. Anyway, it's interesting. Listen to this. This is Revelation chapter 8, the first three trumpets. And the first sounded, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. Now, when you see hail there, don't think, you know, little tiny hailstones. Don't even think big hailstones in terms of, you know, golf ball type hailstones or even baseball. These are huge, which I'll point out to you later as to how we know that. These are huge, and these are actually meteorites. Verse 17, and the first sounded, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Verse 8, and the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. Now, it's interesting. It goes on to say in verse 9, and a third of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Now, what's amazing about this is John, this time, doesn't just see these hail-like meteorites. Here, it's a huge mountain that's on fire that he sees as Jesus gives him a view into the future. And this sounds like a huge meteorite. Now, the very next verse talks about the third angel sounding, the third trumpet judgment, verse 10. And the third angel sounded, and a great star, and typically in the book of Revelation, the word star is asteros, which that's the word we get asteroid from. We are kind of technical in our day and age here in the United States. We use the term asteroid for something that, you know, revolves around the sun, a meteor for something that's flying through the air but doesn't hit the earth. And as soon as that meteor hits the earth, then we call it a meteorite. But here the scripture just, you know, we translate it into the word star, but it's typically asteros, and it could be just a heavenly body that hits the planet. And the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. So this is like that mountain that was burning on fire, but this one burns like a torch, and it fell on a third of the river. So this one doesn't fall in the sea and poison a third of the seas and kill a third of the creatures of the seas. It hits the rivers and on the springs of waters. It says in verse 11, and the name of the star, and I think this is fascinating, and the name of the star is called Wormwood, and a third of the waters became wormwood. Wormwood is a poisonous plant, so a third of the waters are poison. It goes on to say, and many died from the waters because they were made bitter. Now, that's interesting. There's three trumpet judgments in a row. The first one having to do with meteorites in the form of, you know, like huge hail. And the second one being a meteorite, like a huge mountain on fire. It's kind of interesting because how would John describe this like this? And then he describes the next one as a torch on fire called wormwood. Now, this is fascinating because how would John know this? Well, you're going to see what I'm saying when I say, how would John know this? Because there's something fascinating about meteorites that John couldn't have known unless he was exposed to some form of radiation. Obviously, this is not radiation. This is divine revelation from God that these things will take place in the future. That's why it's important to make sure you are right with God. Make sure you're putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Make sure you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I think it's interesting because that word wormwood is a poisonous plant. And that's what God in his word calls this meteorite, indicating that it's not just going to be the physical impact, which you can imagine the devastation from just the physical impact of a meteorite the size of the last two that were mentioned in the second, third trumpet judgment, not to mention all the different ones that come like hail. But think about this. If you're reading a Russian Bible, you know what you would read instead of wormwood right there? You would read the word Chernobyl. The Russian Bible translates that word that we translate into wormwood, Chernobyl, which is a poisonous plant. Isn't it interesting, though, that Chernobyl is also the name of literally a poisonous plant, a nuclear plant that leaked and caused fumes that went throughout big chunks of Europe. Now, I'm not saying that that nuclear plant is a fulfillment of this prophecy. By no means, I don't believe it is. It's just interesting that it uses that word Chernobyl. It is used not only for poisonous plant, but used for nuclear radiation and waste and pollution. I think that's fascinating because when you think of a meteorite hitting the planet, how is it that this thing poisons the Earth? Well, it could be various reasons. In fact, it's interesting. I don't know if you know this, but meteors, many of them, they have magnetic fields and are surrounded by donut-shaped radiation belts, and they're radioactive, and they have volatile gas. Now, we don't know how one differs from another enough to know, you know, which are more poisonous and what have you, and how much poison one may or may not have. It's also interesting that if we want to nuke these things when they hit the planet or before they hit the planet, what if we nuke one of these things that's come to the planet and we hit it, we break it up, and it continues its trajectory to the planet? Well, then we will have poisoned ourselves. Ed Scott, professor of planetary sciences at the University of Hawaii, says, quote, a stone meteorite could vaporize to create poisonous gas, end quote. Also, the powerful impact of a meteorite can release gas that's trapped below the ground. Now, it's interesting. I added this a few years back in 2007 to my meteorite file, which I have. And it was about a meteorite that hit in 2007 in the Peruvian Andes. George Lopez, director of the health department in the southern state of Puno, 800 miles south of Lima, said that at least 200 people had become ill after inhaling toxic fumes emanating from the resulting crater. Amazing. He went on to say as well, quote, this is caused by the gas they have inhaled after the crash, end quote. Folks, how in the world does John know that these huge meteorites are going to hit and that they have these toxic gases associated with them that can actually cause great harm? Again, it's not just radiation, folks, it's revelation. Folks, in the book of Revelation in chapter 6, verses 11 through 17, John writes, I looked when he broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. The sky was split apart like a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Then the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich men and the strong and every slave and free man. It doesn't say they called on Bruce Willis to save us from Armageddon. It says they hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of the wrath has come, and who is able to stand? At the seventh trumpet, we read that there's peals of thunder and an earthquake and a great hailstorm. Again, don't think of just regular hail. Think of 100-pound cannonballs moving at thousands of miles an hour, tens of thousands of miles an hour. In fact, Revelation 16, 20 through 21 says, and every island fled away and the mountains were not found. This is under the seventh bowl judgment. And huge hailstones, about 100 pounds each, came down from heaven upon men, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, because its plague was extremely severe. Folks, Jesus said that terrors and great signs would come from heaven. But you know what he went on to say for those who put their trust in him? It says, then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. But when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. If you're not right with God, your heart's going to fail. You're going to melt. But if you get right with Jesus and accept his death on your behalf and the fact that he took the wrath of God and paid for your sins, well, guess what, folks? He's the pitcher. He's the one throwing these things in the end times. You want to be on his team. You'll be spared because he took your wrath in your place. Praise God. Well, folks, I know that's a lot to digest, but we'd like to thank you for being with us here at Good Fight Radio Show. We look forward to being with you again next time. Until then, press on to know Christ and to make him known. Keep your eyes on the Lord and your hands on the plow. God bless.
You've been listening to Pastor and author Joe Schimmel on the Good Fight Radio Show. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, please visit goodfightradio.org, where we feature many eye-popping and life-changing resources on DVD and CD, as well as an archive of previously aired shows. You can visit our podcast page at goodfightradio.org to find many of Pastor Joe's full Sunday morning teachings. If you've been blessed by this show and would like to share this blessing with others, you can help support our ministry by visiting our donate page also at goodfightradio.org. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062. Or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.
Thank you.